It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
This is not Karachi. It's London. Britain's policy of mass immigration has brought what one expert is calling demographic upheaval to the United Kingdom.
It's now a demographic certainty. Someday, the white native English will be a minority in their own country. It's just a matter of when.
Also, the native Welsh and the Scots. David Coleman is supernumerary fellow in human sciences and university professor in demography at Oxford. He's written that uncontrolled immigration could lead to a Finis Britanniae.
Which simply means the end of Britain. And by that I mean the end of Britain as we know it. The change in the number of people, and particularly the change in the origins of the people, in their religion, in their cultural background and everything would make Britain unrecognizable compared with the present time.
Immigration can strengthen a nation, but several Western nations, including the U.S., are debating the wisdom of large-scale immigration from the Islamic world. And experts are asking what will happen as Muslim numbers continue to grow in officially Christian Britain. Policy analyst George Igler says he does not believe it will take 40 or 50 years before the native British are a minority.
This is a nonsense. It's going to be much sooner. And more importantly, when you look at places like Luton, we already have an understanding. We already have a window into what this future will be like. It's going to be violence and sexual violence against non-Muslims. It's going to be Sharia law.
That's a report from CBN recently, and of course that focuses on Great Britain. But we've talked a great deal about the effects of Muslim immigration in Europe in general. And certainly Great Britain has been ahead of the other countries. They've been importing, they've been more of a, because of their being an imperialist country where they had all of these territories, they were bringing in people decades ago to be Brits who were from other countries. So it was not new for Great Britain, but it was new for the other countries. And a few years ago when we talked a great deal about the Muslim invasion, I don't think any country was affected more greatly than Germany. We've discussed it quite a bit. We talked to Heidi Munz, who famously spoke up in a celebration of the Reformation, and she called out a Muslim imam who was allowed to stand on the stage and do his Muslim prayers. We talked to Elizabeth Sabadisch-Wolf from Austria, who talked about how her country has changed and how she feels personally threatened by what's happening in her own country. We have talked a great deal about Germany, but really not to someone from this part of Germany. You know, Bavaria is the beautiful southern part of Germany. It's the part, when you think about Lederhausen and the beautiful caps with the feathers on them, and you think of the beautiful chalets with flowers planted on their balconies, when you think of the Oktoberfest and Munich and the beer festival, when you think about the Disneyland castle, which came out, is based on the castle Neuschwanstein, these are the things that come to mind when we think of traditional Bavaria in the southern part of Germany. Well, my next guest is from Bavaria, and he has a great story to tell. I heard part of it recently, and I've asked him to join us this morning for us, afternoon for him, to talk about his own personal experience with what's happened to transform Germany. His name is Michael Sturzenberger, and guten Abend, Michael.
Good evening, Sandy.
Michael, what was it like for you to grow up in Bavaria? I know I just gave the stereotypical description, but what was it like growing up there?
You know, as you talked about, Bavaria is a wonderful country, and we had no problems here before the massive Islamic migration started. I wasn't confronted with the topic Islam until 9/11, when I saw the pictures of that terror attack in New York, and I was shocked. And from that moment on, I started to analyze Islam. I read the Quran and the Hadith and everything, and I knew this will be a huge problem if the Islam, if Islam is rising in Germany and in Bavaria. And we had several attacks now in Germany, and the chief of the television station I was working for, the Bavarian Journal, he was in Mumbai 2008, and I was talking to him before about the threat of Islamic terror, and I gave him a book to read, Islam and Terrorism, from an ex-Muslim. His name is Mark Gabriel, and this book, Islam and Terrorism, describes how dangerous Islam is. And my chief came into a terror attack in Mumbai. He died in Mumbai in November 2008, and some years later Islam was spreading more and more, and since 2015 in autumn, when our Chancellor Angela Merkel opened the frontiers to all those so-called refugees and asylum seekers, Islam conquered Germany massive. Yeah, we had nearly 2 million new Muslims here, and we have now terror attacks in Germany, in Berlin. Everybody knows a big car crashed through the Christmas market, 12 people died, and yeah, it's taking more and more control here, and we have rapings, a lot of rapings. Women can't be sure to be in the evening on the street because there are a lot of Muslim machos who have a strange view of women. They think if a woman is has not many clothes, it can be raped. It's somebody who is worth to be raped, and the people are fearing a lot now. Yeah, and Germany is not more the same country as some years before. It's changing very rapidly, and the politicians ignore the problem. They don't want to talk about the danger of Islam. They don't want to talk about the threats. The only party which talks about it is a new party, the Alternative for Germany. And, you know, they are blamed as Nazis, and it's so crazy. It's totally idiot.
Okay, so, Michael, that's a lot to digest, and we're going to go back and talk about that. I do want to know if you can tell us, how about, do you have a family? You have wife and children?
No, I live as a single. I was married, but we are divorced. We are still friends. But I have to say, fortunately, no children, because I am criticizing Islam a lot, and people are threatening me. Muslims wanted to kill me. And if I would have children who go to school, I'm sure they would be threatened, and they would need protection from the police. So, you know, I'm doing this since 10 years now, criticizing Islam very consequently. And I can tell you it's not easy here, because all the politicians, all the media, all the people try to demonize you. Criticize Islam.
And there's more to your story, I know. And we're going to get to that. I just wanted some basics. Well, I don't even know what you do. What do you do for a living?
I'm a journalist since 35 years, and I worked for different television stations. For example, the Bavarian Journal, Bayern Journal. I told you my chief was killed from Islam terrorists in Mumbai. And since some years, I am just working for the enlightenment of Islam, to tell the people what's going on. I'm writing articles for politically incorrect. PI News, it's the biggest alternative medium in the internet in Germany. And I try to be a part of that movement that tries to make sure that Germany and Europe will not be in several decades an Islamic state.
So you're a writer and a journalist. Has this affected your employment? You're writing freelance, but has your position, your public position, opposing Islam, affected your ability to be employed in television stations and other places in Germany?
You know, the television station I'm working for, they know what's going on because their chief was killed by Islamic terror. And, you know, all the left people are trying to send emails and to telephone. Ah, there's a Nazi working at you, throw him out. Yeah, but my colleagues say, "You be silent, please, yeah? Stop it, yeah, and that's finished." So I have luck in this direction, but many other people who work for public television or public radio or mainstream media, newspapers, they couldn't criticize Islam because they would lose their job the next day. It's a real high pressure. Yeah, the political correctness does not allow to criticize Islam. It's a huge problem, a huge problem.
Michael, when it comes to the invasion, really, of the Islamists, I mean, we cover this a lot on my show. And, of course, we posted the videos of them just flooding your streets, the highways leading into villages, it's them filling up their trains. It's just been an amazing thing, frightening and upsetting and concerning for all of us who have a heart for Germany. And I'm one of those because I spent some time in Berlin many years ago. It was very disturbing. But I'm curious to know, how did Bavaria, what was the impact on Bavaria? Has Bavaria had more influx of refugees than other parts of the country, or was it pretty evenly divided?
Yeah, it was really that the case. The most of the refugees came from Austria to Bavaria. The Munich train station was overcrowded in 2015. In September, October, there came partly 10,000 people a weekend, 3,000-4,000 a day. You know, it was unbelievable, and They were spread it after all over Germany, but we had the problem that they came first to Bavaria, and now we realize what's going on, because they first came, they went to their homes, and now they are starting to terrorize the people. They are starting to rape the women. They are starting to make knife attacks. They are more and more terror activities. Yeah? So the life is changing definitely in Germany. People have more and more fear. They buy weapons. They buy pepper spray to be protected. It's crazy, and people are starting now to make huge demonstrations because more and more young women were killed after raping, and now all the mothers and the women go on the street and they stop. We want to live in freedom. We want to live secure. We don't want to have fear about our lives and the lives of our daughters. And it's real terror in Germany. And,
Michael, let me interrupt you.
It will rise. It will rise up. It will
yes.
be.
Yeah. So I have to stop you just for a second. We have to take a commercial break. But when we come back, I also then want to turn to your own personal experience, because although you're still employed, they put you through the paces and are still doing that. Michael Sturzenberger is my guest from Bavaria, Germany. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
People are equal. Ideologies, values are not equal. Religions are not equal. And what I taught you before, the cultural relativist, people who believe that all cultures are equal, are the proof of the biggest disease Europe faced in the last decades. Cultural relativists, who say Islamic culture is the same as Christianity, allow them and don't demand from them to integrate and to assimilate. This is the worst thing that has happened to us.
That was the voice of Geert Wilders, who is from the Netherlands. And Geert was a Dutch politician who I've had the privilege of meeting. He was the founder and current leader of the Party for Freedom. And if you knew Geert's story, he's paid a tremendous price for being just fearlessly speaking out, because the same thing, of course, is happening in the Netherlands that Michael, our guest today, is describing in Bavaria. Michael Sturzenberger, a journalist in Bavaria, southern Germany. Michael, my understanding is that in all of your reporting, you're also posting on Facebook, and at one point you posted actually a very famous picture. I was certainly familiar with this picture. It's the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem meeting with a Nazi officer. The Nazi officer, you can see the swastika, you can see his uniform, because the Muslim Brotherhood and the Nazis corroborated during World War II. You posted that picture, and among other things, and that was the beginning of a lot of trouble, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a total crazy story. I posted this picture and a short article about the alliance between Nazis and Islam, and there was a criminal inspector who is every day looking at my articles, because they are watching me because I am criticizing Islam. And he saw the swastika. And then he made an announcement. And I came to him, and he said to me, yeah, you posted here the swastika. And I told him, hey, this is a historical picture, and it is allowed by German law. If you post a historical picture about something what happened in the past, and it's about the Nazi time, so it's allowed. But it came to court, the whole thing. And the judge sentenced me to 6 months prison on probation. It was so crazy what happened there. And this judge, it was a female. Her name was Sonja Birkhofer-Hoffmann. I have to tell this name because it's real crazy what she did. She made in front of the court a second controlling of the people. You know, everywhere in Germany, if you go to court, you have to go to a control, like on airport. You have to put everything out to let it controlled. And she made an extra control station with extra officers directly before the courtroom. It was unbelievable, as if we were criminals. I couldn't take anything with me. I should give over my pencil, everything, my books, all my improvements to defend myself. I should leave outside the room. And I said, hey, I am accused here. I have to write down what's happening here, and I had to argue a long time until I could take my pencil in. So I felt like a criminal. It was unbelievable. And yeah, she judged me to have shown the swastika, and she judged me because in the article I wrote about the alliance of Nazis and Islam, and I wrote that Islam is a fascist ideology, as the prominent book author Hamed Abdel Samad proved in his book Islamic Fascism. And you know, you told about Geert Wilders. Geert Wilders is, in my opinion, the bravest politician all over Europe, and he is telling the same. Islam is a fascist ideology. Yeah, but this judge sentenced me, And this would be rebel rousing, and I am blaming Islam, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it was unbelievable. And after this judgment, it was in August last year, there was an international reaction, protests, especially in Eastern Europe, because, you know, Germany, the German politicians often say, yeah, in Poland, what's about democracy? What's about freedom of speech? And then Polish politicians could say, what's about Germany? What's about freedom of speech there? What's about Islam criticism? Yeah, is it a little bit like dictatorship now? And we had the second judgment in December, on the 5th of December, and I was set free. So that was the correction of that scandal in August. So justice is now here, and the state prosecutors they see that it's all right. So this case is now okay. But you know, with my Islam criticism, I'm going through courts since meanwhile 6-7 years, and they accused me so many times, and I had to pay thousands and thousands of euros. And now I think now is a point of return. Now the judge realized that they couldn't sentence Islam criticizers. They see the reality, and I hope it will be now in the next months and years. We are able to criticize Islam without being sentenced again.
That's quite a story, Michael. And that's kind of the story that we've heard from others. I mean, I know there are other people, not many, certainly not many, who have dared to speak out against Islam in Europe. But wherever they've gone, they've blazed some trails. And I'm going to get to what's happening in Germany now, because I think we are beginning to see a little light. But before we get to that light, I think everyone always wonders, and I do. I've asked this question of everyone I've talked to in Europe. Why in the world would Angela Merkel be so embracing of Islamists? Why would that be okay? Why would she have her picture made? Would she have a selfie taken? Would she endear herself to the hordes of invaders into her own territory, her own people? Why would she do that?
Yeah, this is a big problem for Germany, this Chancellor. And when she opened the borders, when there were the many so-called refugees in Hungary at the train stations and everywhere, she thought, okay, when I am now the good German, yeah, the Mother Teresa of Germany, and I say, okay, they can all come, we take care of them, yeah, then she thought, okay, the world will see, yeah, this is now the good Germany, yeah. Decades ago, it was a bad Nazi Germany, yeah, killing millions of Jews and then making wars and everything. And now we are the good Germans, and I am the good Chancellor. Plus, she was in a coalition with the Social Democrats, the lefts, and she knew if she is acting like this, she will have the assistance of their coalition partner, the Social Democrats, and the Green Party, which is about 10% in the parliament, rather strong. They will support this as well. Plus, the media, which is 70% left-green, the left-green journalists, they will give applause as well. And so it was. When she opened the borders in August 2015 and September, all of the media said, yeah, wonderful, great, Angela Merkel, well done, and now we help them, and they can come and we integrate them, and wonderful, blah, blah, blah. And nobody saw the problems and what for people are coming. Young Muslims, yeah, a lot of young Muslims, strong, yeah, ready to fight, yeah, ready to take money out of the social system of Germany. But it changed after three, 4 months. There was the Sylvester party in Cologne, where 1,000 Muslims terrorized women in Cologne during the Sylvester party. There were rapings, there were huge problems. And then the people woke up slowly, and they saw it's not so good what's happening here. But Angela Merkel is somebody who does not want to say, okay, I made a fault. She's trying to continue this politics, and she tries to cooperate with the lefts, with the Social Democrats and with the Green Party. And the only one who say the truth is the new party Alternative for Germany. And they are growing. 6 million people voted for this new party. It was about 12.6%. It's a start. And now in her party, in Angela Merkel's party, the Christian Democrats, CDU, there are more and more who are against her politics, but they wait because this chancellor has still about 30-40% of the people in Germany who support her. So it's still a problem, and we hope all the people who know about the problems, who know about Islam, we hope that this chancellor will be abandoned in the next time. Yeah? But in the moment, she's still ruling Germany. Yeah.
Michael Scherzenberger is my guest, and Michael is from Bavaria. He's a journalist. Just to reset that, Michael, allow me to just interject my own personal experience with my German friends and acquaintances. It's hard for Americans to understand this, and you alluded to it, but let me make it a little clearer for Americans. There is this, because of what happened in World War II and the whatever involvement of the German people in the eradication of so many Jews and other people too, the extermination, it was so... It was such a shameful thing. Of course, the Nuremberg trials took place, and there was retribution for Nazi leaders, but the shame that set in on the country is kind of hard to describe. When I lived there in the early 70s, people wouldn't even discuss it. They wouldn't even talk about the war. They just clammed up. And when I was there the last time, the shame was still there. And then in the United States, I met a doctor, a German doctor, whose name was Norbert Wollertsen. I don't know if you've heard of him, Michael, but he went to North Korea and volunteered his services and really gave his, I don't even know if he's still living, because he became such a lightning rod to try to seek justice in North Korea. But one of the driving factors, he told me personally, was his father was a Nazi, and he had such shame over that. He was trying to make up for the sins of his father. And I'm just trying to paint a picture so that people can understand the shame of the children of the German Nazis and the German people of World War II. Not that they were all complicit, but the shame still is there. And so that's what Michael is describing, this just desperate need to reclaim the honor of Germany. And so I don't know if Angela Merkel seemed like such a clear-headed, wise woman when she took power, Michael. It's been astounding to see the foolishness to which she has descended. But I have to tell you, that happens to our politicians here, too. They go to Washington, and they're smart, clear-thinking people, and they just get, they come out of Washington with a mind of mush, and they make terrible decisions. So we have the same experience here. Let me ask you now you're, I'm seeing in some of the headlines that some things are changing in Germany. I just pulled out a couple of articles this morning. It says something, German city bans new refugees as anti-migrant mood increases. And then another one out of Berlin. German mosque must stop broadcasting call to prayer, a court finds. Now, that's just two stories, but are you seeing similar trends in a different direction?
Yeah. The wind is changing slowly, but we have this development because the problems are getting so big now that, the people can't close their eyes before it. Yeah. And we have more and more resistance. Yes, in the cities, you mentioned it. Some cities close their borders now for refugees and so-called asylum seekers because the problems are becoming too big. Yeah, there are knife attacks of young Syrian Muslims who terrorize the people. We have so-called young refugees, who make killings and rapings. And when they control their age, they realize, oh, they are not 17 or 16,
Michael?
They are 25 or even older. You know,
yes, we have to take a break. Hold that thought, sir. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. I want to talk about the influence of Viktor Orban and some of the new European countries when we return. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
I will never approve making Hungary a country of migrants, said Viktor Orban, Prime Minister of Hungary. Regarding the latest decision of the European Court of Justice, he emphasized that Hungary is battling those politics of Brussels that intend to settle people in member states against their will. I will never approve of any great power, however big it may be, former colonial empires, or the people in Brussels, to make Hungary a country of migrants, said the Prime Minister. Regarding the decision of the European Court, he said that it must be acknowledged, but it's no reason for Hungary to change its policies regarding illegal migrants. Concerning border protection, he maintained that defense serves the security of not only Hungary, but the whole of Europe too. Therefore, in the name of solidarity, he asked the European Commission to cover half of the expenses spent on border protection. Regarding the European Commission's standpoint on not financing defense, the Prime Minister emphasized that it's unacceptable as the external borders of the European Union cannot be protected without it.
All right, that's a translation of this statement by Viktor Orban, who's the Prime Minister of Hungary. You must know that in the, I guess we call it the New Europe, there are some countries, it would be Hungary, Poland, Czechoslovakia, and I'm not sure if there are others, who have ignored the dictates of the European Union and refused to allow the influx of out-of-control young men, Muslims, invading their countries. And I think that Michael Sturzenberger, our guest, would tell you that that steadfastness against this political correctness has been one of the factors that has caused Germans and others to pull back from their mindless embrace of this invasion. So, Michael, let me hear it from you. What do you think the effect of someone like Prime Minister Orban has been on the status of what's happening in Germany?
Yeah, Viktor Orban has very clear opinions, and he was invited to Germany some weeks ago from the CSU. This is a ruling party in Bavaria, the Christian Social Democrats, and he said during his stay in Germany, we do not consider these people to be Muslim refugees. We regard them as Muslim invaders. And he said, it was not a wave of refugees, it was an invasion. I never understood how in a country like Germany, the chaos, the anarchy, and the illegal crossing of borders could be celebrated as something good. So he's telling the truth. And the CSU party, they are starting now to be more critical against Chancellor Angela Merkel, and they look to Austria, where a new government was built. There were the Freedom Party of Austria. They are similar to the Freedom Party of the Netherlands, and with the conservatives. And they are making now a very conservative, strict policy against those invasion of the Islamic countries. And this is the new development, and the Eastern countries in Europe, they know exactly about Islam. The Polish, the Hungarians, the Czechs, Slovenians, they know. They were ruled by Islamic countries several years, 100 years ago. And now we hope in Germany and in England and France and Belgium and Netherlands, everywhere are the same problems, that the politicians will realize that this is the right way. We can't allow this Muslim invasion. We have to stop it. Otherwise, we will not survive. That's the point.
Yeah, as I mentioned in my opening of this segment, the European Union is driving so much of this, most of it, I guess. You know, the amount of refugees has been dictated to various countries in Europe. You must take this. You must open your borders. The borders were already opened by the European Union, but you must take so many refugees. Interesting, you know, Michael, as an aside, I just read that Emmanuel Macron, new prime minister of France, admitted that even France would vote to leave the European Union if they held a referendum. I thought that was pretty stunning. Do you think Germany might be? Is there any talk of that either in Germany?
You know, many people, more and more people, are critically about the Muslim invasion. But I don't know if the German people would vote for exit the European Union, because most of the people still think that we are benefiting from the European Union, because we can export our goods and everything, and we have the same money system, the same euro, and I'm not sure if the people would exit, but they would vote for a controlling of the frontiers, definitely. The people don't want any longer this massive invasion. And it was interesting what Viktor Orban said. He said 2018 will be the year of restoration of popular will. And this is really what the people want, because the people see that their security is in danger. Yeah, massive in danger. And people are not believing the stories that Islam means peace and Islam is a peaceful religion and terror has nothing to do with Islam. You know, we heard those lies every day in the television, in the radio, from the politicians, from the Muslim representatives. And this is a complete lie. Yeah? And more and more people don't believe those lies. They wake up. And if the political parties in Germany will want to rule in the future, they have to change their politics. And I hope that the big parties in Germany will realize this, and we see it in the polls, that the alternative for Germany is rising week for week. Now they are at 15%. And the Social Democrats, they are crashed down to 17%, because they tell every day, we want to have the families from Islamic countries, they should come to Germany to the refugees. Yeah, they are totally crazy. They are stupid, left idiots. Yeah, they live in another world. Yeah, but people see this, and they don't want to vote for those left parties anymore.
Michael, you said something earlier that really caught my ear. You said that more and more Germans are buying weapons Now, guns are, you're not allowed to carry a gun, are you, in Germany, private citizen?
No, we have a very hard controlling of weapons, totally different from USA, and we just can buy pepper spray. This is legal. You can have it for your defending, and we have some weapons who shoot those pepper spray. You can legally buy it if you have a license. You can get it in every city, and sharp weapons like guns, and it's not so easy. You have to be in a shooting club, and you have to have those weapons at home in a trezor. You have to lock it up. It's not so easy. You can't go in the streets with weapons. But the light defense weapons like pepper spray. This was rising about 400-500%. Because people fear. They fear the Muslim danger. Mm.
Michael, when I was in Germany so many years ago, living, Bavaria was known as a Catholic stronghold. And I myself in German in Berlin attended what was called the Evangelische Freikirche. You know, it was the Free Church of Germany, and it was pretty strong. That church was not percentage wise in the population of Berlin. It was hardly a ripple. But I'm curious to know what kind of influence does Christianity have in Bavaria?
The problem is that the chiefs of the churches, yeah, they tell the people, oh, Islam is good, is a religion like Christianity, and we have to be tolerant, we have to welcome them, and it's a sign of Christianity if we help the Muslims, so let the refugees come in. You know, they give asylum in the churches for the refugees. They are collaborators for Islam. It's unbelievable what's going on. They don't realize that Islam is a foe of Christianity. In the Quran, it's saying, kill the Christians. They are not worth to live. It's unbelievable. Those priests and those Christian leaders, they are really on the side of Islam. It's terrible. It's real terrible. Yeah.
You know, when I was in Würzburg, or I can't think of the exact town. I was on a Martin Luther Reformation tour a couple of years ago, and I was in the church where Luther used to preach, and he was, many of the leaders of the, I can't think of names right now, were buried right there in the church. And we were, you know, it was a wonderful thing to be there, but at the back they were announcing, they had little flyers of upcoming events, and an imam was preaching at that church on a regular basis.
Yeah.
To prove your point. The Lutheran Church, Heidi Munz was our guest probably 6 months ago, maybe a year ago. She was the German woman who went to a celebration of the Reformation where an imam began to speak, and she stood up, and I don't know, perhaps you know this story, but she stood up and was just appalled. She just declared out loud, this is an affront to Christianity. But there aren't many people like Heidi and others. Are there any like free church gatherings or groups in Germany? Or is Germany really so, look, that's what you described is not Christianity. That's, you know, that's a pretend, that's, and it may have the name and the money and the churches, the buildings, but that's not the followers of Christ as described in Scripture. Do you see in Bavaria any people who really, truly, like the Martin Niemöllers, like the Dietrich Bonhoeffer, is any people like that?
The normal Christian people think most of the times different. But there are some who look to their leaders, and when the big popes, the pope, he says, yes, we have to be friendly to Muslims and blah, blah, blah. And this is a big problem. But on the base More and more Christians, they know what's going on. And if you mention Martin Luther, he knew exactly about Islam. He knew the deadly danger, and he warned. Yeah, but the Evangelic Church, they are doing now a complete different thing. Yeah, they as you told, they let the imams in the churches, and they let them to praise, and when they are in Jerusalem, they put a cross off their neck because they know the Muslims don't like it. It's unbelievable. But you know, brave Christians like Heidi Mundt, I know her very well. You know, today I phoned with her, and we are connecting us with the resistance work, and we are on rallies together in some weeks. So she's a real hero, and she stood up and said, "This is a Christian church, and you can't let a foe of Christianity let in this church. Yeah, these are our enemies. Yeah, and yeah, more and more people wake up, but it's difficult, you know, if the media is telling those lies about the friendly, peaceful Islam, and the politicians and everybody, you know. So we have just the possibility with our internet media to tell the truth. But there's the next problem. We have since January,
Michael,
a new law.
We're out of time. Michael, we're out of time. I am so sorry. We're going to have to do part two. Michael Sturgenberger, Bavaria, Germany. God bless you, Michael. We'll pray for you. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.